Welcome to the Advice for Ambition podcast, Life's Lessons All in One Place. I'm your host, Sandra Liu, and in this podcast, we'll be interviewing people in various walks of life, various stages of their life, and various careers. I hope this podcast will be a way for you, the listener, to be able to find your inspiration and your aspirations in life. Thank you for listening, and let's get right into the episode. This week's episode will feature Destiny King, one of my very good friends from high school, and she will be telling us about her background as well as her upbringing and how it shaped who she is today. So she is currently a biology major at Drexel University in Philadelphia, and she is studying to become a vet. And without further ado, here's Destiny King. Hi, Destiny. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Sandra.
Thanks for joining me today. I'm going to start by asking the first question. Can you start by telling me about your background, like what you're studying, your childhood, or anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in North Philly. Under a single mother, I have a ton of siblings. I mean, we grew up pretty poor. I wasn't, struggling to find food compared to, I think, most of America. We were pretty poor. I was a very, independent child. I didn't have too many rules growing up. My mom wasn't a hover mother or anything like that. Kind of grew up pretty independently, doing whatever I felt like.
So I know that you've always been very good with academics because I've known you for a while now and you always get straight A's. Can you tell me more about where that stems from and when do you think you started really focusing more on your academics?
Well, I felt like I started taking my grades pretty seriously in high school. We went to high school together. So Central kind of had a reputation for being a good school where smart kids go or whatever. And my sister, she's a year older than me, and she got into Central first, so she went, and she just, didn't do very good, which was weird because she was always kind of, the smarter of the two of us. She always got the better grades, so it made me, question whether I would do good in Central, and I was pretty determined to do good. She was only there for a year, and then she transferred to a different school. But I was, determined to, stick it out. So immediately, as soon as I started at Central, I was just extremely, focused on doing the best that I could and, not slacking off on any of even, the smaller assignments. Because, even if they are, 3 points, that's still 3 more points. And so then my freshman year for the first report card, I ended up getting, I think it was all A's. It was either all A's or always went in 1B. I forget. It showed me that I really was kind of up to the task, even though in middle school, I never got all A's. I didn't care that much. I did enough, I didn't really study too much. But in Central, I was determined to know everything and do the best that I could just because I wasn't even sure if I was capable. And then I learned that I was capable of getting straight A's if I tried. After that, it was just trying to either meet or exceed my past self. So then I never really wanted to get bad grades after that because it's just habit. I knew I was capable of getting good grades. So you kind of, I expected it of myself, just had to keep meeting those expectations.
Did anyone else in your family have expectations of you? Did you ever feel pressured to be a certain way or with academics or anything else?
Even as a child, my parents expected me to at the very least go to college. They knew I was a relatively smart child, so it was possible. And so I knew from a young age that I was going to go to college. I was going to have, a full education. It's the only thing that was really kind of, expected of me. My mom, she never even really, looked at my report cards unless I showed her it. It was up to me. It was my responsibility to get all my work done. And I lived with my father for a few months in middle school when I moved with him to Colorado. And he was the, complete opposite of my mother. My mother, never care to even ask if I had homework. But he was very strict, which was weird because he didn't even get the chance. He didn't even give me the chance to prove that I was a responsible child who could, be in charge of my own education. So he immediately like made it a rule that I couldn't like watch TV before I did my homework, things like that.
Wow.
That was really annoying because I never needed that. I never needed rules to like get it done before. And low key, it made me want to like not do my homework.
It's like reverse psychology for kids.
Yeah, just to like spite him low key. That was when I realized that I like low key hate authority. Because like, I don't know, I always grew up very independent. So it's getting that like, I don't know, independence taken away from me was very weird. But other than that, other than those few months with him, I never really had a parent that was like hovering over my grades or anything. So yeah, it was all just like me because I expected it from myself.
Mostly like self-discipline that you grew over the years because of your own self-expectations.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you decide on what major you wanted to choose going to college, or did you ever switch your major before?
No, I never ended up switching my major. I decided on biology because, I mean, in high school, I took a biology class. I did really well in it, and it was interested enough. But what really got me interested was this genetic class I took either my junior or senior year, I forget, but I was really into genetics, and it's, I honestly wanted to go into like genetic research at first. I ended up like changing my mind in the middle of college, but that's originally why I decided on biology. And then being in the biology major, like I realized that like 90% of the other students are in it for med school. So then I did consider that for a little bit because I had like the grades for it. And so I kept being like, mm-hmm. kind of was like pressured by everyone who were like, oh, you have such good grades. Like you should be a doctor, blah, blah. Like those are the perfect grades for getting into med school, things like that. So I considered it for a little while. And then my heart was never really into being like a human doctor. So then I was just like, no, I think I'll just go into research. And after getting some research experience, I do like research. I definitely want research to be a part of my career, no matter what I do. But I don't think that I want it to be the sole focus of my career because, like, grant writing just never sounded like fun. So yeah, so then I started to think about, like, what else I could do. I considered being, like, a genetic counselor, which is still kind of a backup plan for me. But then after being like on the study abroad trip that I went on, it was in Equatorial Guinea, which is a country in like the armpit of Africa. There were so many animals, particularly dogs that were just like, I don't know, just like little homeless dogs or like wild dogs. And they just didn't have any kind of like health care at all. Like the people like did not care about them at all. And it made me so sad. I saw this one puppy when we were on this beach, and it had a broken leg. And I was just so sad looking at it because I knew it was going to spend the rest of its life with that broken leg because nobody was going to fix it. And it was just a baby. I was like, it's probably going to die soon because it can't even fend for itself anymore because its leg is broken. It was sad. Oh and, like, God. I was the only one that cared. Yeah, I don't know. It was just so sad. And then we also had this, like, project where it was, like, we had to come up, I forget what it was, but we had to come up with something, like, some kind of organization or this, like, investor to fund or something. I'm not sure. But I ended up creating, like, a little, like, vet clinic to give, like, free health care there. They told me it wasn't realistic, but I still like my idea. And I don't know, I would love to do that. I would love to be, like, a vet and do, like, kind of like the vet version of like Doctors Without Borders and like give healthcare to animals in like other countries where they're not really cared for. I still
That's
think
so cool. Nice.
Well, that trip, it just kind of made me really like start to consider being a vet. I think I wanted to be a vet in like middle school or something, but for some reason, I kind of forgot about like that dream that once upon a time. I think I learned that they didn't make that much money and was like, maybe not.
Wait, I think vets do make a lot of money though, right? Because
compared to like a doctor during this trip abroad stage in my life, I realized that like money wasn't exactly gonna make me happy anyway. And so mm-hmm. I reconsidered and I was like, actually, I think I would like to do it. It's a lot of work, but I think it'll be like really fulfilling because I do love animals. I like being around them. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for like someone who might be choosing a major just for the money or because they feel like they're expected to do this? Kind of like how other people told you that you should think about being a doctor, but then that's not what you wanted to do. Like, some people could have actually just been persuaded by those people. So how do you, like, stand your ground and stick with your own mental thoughts and kind of ignore the static outside?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of hard to, because, I don't know, it's just like, it's easy to be persuaded by money, especially when you grow up poor. It's easy to think that, like, this is, because, I mean, you do need money. It's definitely, like, it'll help your happiness to, like, at the very least be comfortable. But I think, like, beyond having enough to be comfortable, like, money doesn't really affect your happiness, and that's, like, literally been proven. So I would say just, like, think about it, because it's easy to think about the money, but when you're actually doing a job that you don't like, it will literally, like, kill your soul. And it's just, like, not worth it, because it's, like, that's 40 hours a week. Like, that's so much time to hate what you're doing. And I kind of learned that during my first co-op, which, like, it was at a chemistry lab, and so they paid me a lot more than, like, a biology major would normally get paid for a co-op. And I took it because they were offering me, like, more money than I expected. I thought I would be interested in, I thought the job was more relevant to my major than it was. it was a lot of, like, microscopy work, and it was just so boring. I ended up, like, hating it. Like, literally, to take one picture, it took, like, 5 minutes, and I'm just sitting there. I think, like, my happiness was the lowest it had maybe not ever been, but it was definitely one of the lowest it's been during that co-op, because I was just, like, I was with a bunch of, like, I don't know, people I didn't really connect with, but most of the time I worked just by myself in this, like, lonely room, not seeing anyone else for hours.
Oh my and gosh. It was just,
and I learned that, like, okay, I was getting, like, decent paychecks, but I was still miserable, like, the, and then I found myself just spending money because, like, I could, and because I was unhappy otherwise.
Oh my
so, like,
gosh.
Retail therapy. So, yeah, I just had, like, retail therapy, but it, like, wasn't, I don't know. I was so glad to be done with that co-op. I would literally leave, like, I was supposed to work 8 hours, but I would leave, like, a half an hour early, like, every day, just because I could. I would literally sneak Aww. Out. So, yeah, I don't know. From that, I learned that, like, just because a job pays well doesn't mean that it's worth it, honestly. I understand, like, if you are in really horrible, like, poor situation, it's, like, easy to be persuaded by the money. But if you, like, have the opportunity to go after something that you really want to do, I think it's worth it. But I think it'll be worth it to be poor all those years. Even though I'm gonna be, like, struggling like hell during my vet school years, and probably a little after, because I have to repay those loans. But other than that, because I work at, like, a spay and neuter clinic right now. And I really like what I'm doing. I like the environment. I like working with animals.
Can you tell me more about the co-op or co-op slash internship experiences that you did like? And what made you like them versus the chem lab?
So the chem lab was my first co-op. I learned my lesson from there. Don't go for the money. Go for something interesting. And so for my second co-op, I worked at this mammalian research lab. Because at that point, I was considering becoming a vet, but I still wasn't sure if I wanted to give up research. So I interviewed at the mammalian research lab. I really liked the head lady, the head PI. And so I got the job. It was interesting. It was, like, a lot of learning at first, but I don't know. I felt like the lab work was kind of, I don't know, things like reactions and stuff, like experiments, like, they take a really long time for anything to happen. We did a lot of, like, PCR. We did a lot of Western blot. And the Western blots, just to do one, it takes, like, almost a full day. Because you'll, like, do something for, like, 5 minutes, then you put it in this machine, let the reaction go for, like, an hour or two, and then you'll come back to it, do something for 5 minutes. And it's kind of like that. And I think I realized I wanted a faster paced environment from that. But I did like the research. The research was really interesting. I got to dissect quite a lot of mice. Experiments were, like, on mice where it was basically kind of like fertility experiments. Like, the purpose of it was to give, like, insight into, like, human infertility problems, things like that. And so I feel like the research itself was really interesting, but the day-to-day not quite as interesting. And then my last co-op, that one, I kind of did like two co-ops at the same time. I worked at this cat hospital as a veterinary assistant, and I worked at the Philadelphia Zoo as like, I forget what the position was even called, but basically I did like a lot of husbandry works, like helping take care of the animals at this very specific part of the zoo, like the petting zoo area. So we like took care of the goats, the little mini horses that they had there, the alpacas. I love the alpacas. They were amazing. So like we would feed them, we would clean their area, things like that. So I just wanted to get more experience, like particularly in a zoo environment, because like I would love to be a vet like at a zoo, because I mean, you just get to work with so many like exotic animals, and I think that would be cool. But my job at the cat hospital, so that was a very like specific like practice, because they only did cats. It did give me an appreciation for cats, because I've met some like angel cats, and then I've also met some devil cats. And so that just kind of gave me an idea of like what I would be doing like in the future, like in like a practice. I definitely felt like I could like that. I didn't really like that hospital in particular, just because of some of the people there. The work I was doing and stuff, I really like enjoyed, like taking x-rays and like helping to give the treatments or vaccines to the animals. I did enjoy all that. And yeah, that was my last co-op.
Do you have any advice on how to get these co-ops, or like what do you think the people who interviewed like the most about your resume, or maybe just your personality?
For all of my co-ops, I went on like a ton of interviews. For my freshman year, I went on like 11 interviews, which was really scary, because I was like my first time really interviewing. And so I learned a lot from those, because there were some pretty bad interviews. But I found that the interviews that I liked the best were ones that were a conversation, versus like asking a question and just them waiting to hear an answer. I think that like the interviews with people who, first off, I like when the interviewer themselves is kind of like a talkative person, because like I'm pretty introverted. So if the interviewer is also introverted, there's like nothing to say.
Oh, no.
But I felt like I had like the best success when the interviewer themselves are like a talkative person and kind of just want to get to know you. And because like when you're interviewing for these co-ops, like they know that like you're in college, you don't have much work experience. So whatever you're going for, like they have to teach you basically. So it's not even a matter of like, do you have experience? Cause like no one has experience really. It's really just like, will you get along with their employees and stuff? Like, how's your personality? So I definitely like the interviews that were more focused on like, do I like you as a person? I don't know. And they were like less stress anyway, because like the interviews where it's like, tell me about yourself. Oh my God, I hate those so much. They're just like a lot of pressure from those. And I felt like, I don't know, I made less of an impression with those kind of things, because it's like, it's hard to really show your personality when the questions are so like dry.
So next time I should drop that question, huh?
Yeah, but I mean that's just like personal preference for me. Is like I like when the interviews are more conversational. But I know that depending on the industry that you're in, it may not interviews may not go like that for you. But I think for biology, like it is a lot of kind of just conversational interviews, which I kind of like. Know when like an interview goes well, like you'll leave it kind of knowing whether you made a connection with the interviewer. And if you didn't make a connection with them, they may have made a connection with someone else, so you're probably not getting the job. And I mean, for all of the co-ops that I got, I knew that I was gonna get the job offer as I was leaving, because I knew that I made a connection with the person that was interviewing me.
If there's one lesson in life you wish you learned earlier that you'd like to share with our listeners, what would that be?
So yeah, this is a difficult one, because I feel like I'm pretty good at learning from other people. Like I don't necessarily have to make that mistake to learn from it. Like I'm pretty good at learning from mistakes that other people make.
Oh, like when you read about it or see someone go through something?
Most of the time from like, I don't know, from like friends or family, like I see the mistakes they've made and I'm like, not do that either. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've learned a lot of things just from watching other people. I feel like I've been able to avoid a lot of mistakes, which I think more people should do. More people should learn from others rather than having to make the mistake yourself. The lesson could be, don't make the mistake. Instead, watch other people make the mistake and be like, okay, I'm not doing that.
What was the most impactful experience of your life that helped shape the way you see the world around you?
I feel like there have been, I mean, life is pretty complicated. So there's a number of things that I'm sure has impacted me, maybe even without my knowledge. But I think that my very, like, independent childhood has kind of having to grow up. Like, I had to grow up pretty fast. Like, I was basically my own parent. I took care of myself. Like I said, like, I never had, like, a parent, like, really hover over me, over my academics or anything. I was in charge of doing my own laundry, cleaning my own room. Like, no one really had to tell me to do that. And, like, I also, like, would babysit my younger siblings from a pretty young age. So I feel like kind of being like, I even like did my own food shopping in like middle school. So it's just like, so I feel like all of that has kind of, I don't know, it made me like grow up pretty fast. I don't know, I didn't really have the like go wild in college because you're finally like not being hovered over type of thing because I've been having to kind of take care of myself as an adult for a while now. And I feel like that pretty much shapes like the way I do things. Like even like back in middle school when I would tell my friends that like I do my old food shopping, they're like, whoa, I would just get like all snacks. And I'm like, if I got all snacks, I would literally die. My like dry answers. I think that like my kind of horrendous childhood taught me to be very independent and but also to like accept help and be grateful for it because everyone needs a helping hand now and then. But not to expect it. So, like, you can accept the help, but don't expect someone to always be there and, like, that you can rely on someone because you'll be surprised at how you can't rely on people that you technically probably should be able to, but life doesn't always work like that. So, yeah, and that could also be, like, why I haven't really, like, strayed from my path much because if I know that if I fuck up, fall off my path, there's no one to catch me. Which also kind of brings on that, like, responsibility where, I know to myself, like, if I want to have a good future, I have to pretty much do everything right. Like, there's not too much wiggle room. If I fall off, do a bunch of drugs, like, that's it. But I guess, like, my reason for doing what I do is just, like, to just provide myself with a better life. I mean, like, what more do you need to really encourage you to, like, try hard? Because, like, I mean, I grew up, like, pretty poor, so, like, I don't want to be poor all my life. And I just want to be able to do all the things that I never had the opportunity to do when I was younger, like, travel or even just, like, decorate my house for the holidays. I now know. I mean, I know that, like, money is not going to make me happy, you know, from the first co-op.
Well, thanks, Destiny, for joining me today on today's episode.
Thanks so much for having me.
And then when you finally become a vet, I'm going to interview you again. You go to vet school. Look out for another email or text from me. Thanks for tuning in today. And you can expect a new episode of Advice for Ambition every Wednesday morning. I'm your host, Sandra Liu. And don't forget to stay ambitious.